Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
I'm home cold, you're standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down? I'm home cold, you're standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down? They ain't believing me in the beginning. Don't wanna hang around, now they see me winning. I'm home cold, you're standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down?
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's your boy, Big Court from the Holding Court Podcast. You already know what it is. And today's episode is sponsored by none other than the ice cream man himself, Master P, my big brother. He's got this new ice cream, vanilla. I love some ice cream, but this is, I'm telling you, it's rich, it's creamy, it's all of that. It's, you know, this is some next level stuff right here. So y'all go to the grocery store, tell them people, we ain't talking about Baskin Robbins. We need that ice cream man. So, man, go check that out at your local grocery store.
What's up, world? Welcome to the Holding Court Podcast. You got your boy here, Big Court. We got producer Ken in the house. What's cracking, man?
You know, it's another day.
Another day, bro.
Chock full of adventure.
Man, it's been an interesting ride thus far, huh, bro?
Yeah. No, I do. You know what we talk about.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to tailor it.
Man, we're going to take that shit to the air, bro. You know what I mean? One thing that people, they show up. We love the fans. We appreciate all the support. Everybody showing up. They loving what we doing. They loving our chemistry. They loving the guests that we got. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, today we just going to rock out. You know what I mean? Because like we always say, bro, we always have great conversations behind closed doors. And we be like, well, if the world could listen in, you know what I mean?
I mean, that's where it started. I think that's like the genesis. You know what I mean? This is 20 years of just talking about this.
Real talk. now that you say it, bro, you're right. Because we just talk about, I mean, mostly music. You know what I'm saying? You coming from Sac, me coming from Kansas City. And, of course, the kinship musically. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think, I kind of feel like that. I mean, we met, dating myself now, but like, I think we met 20 years ago on TV stuff.
Yeah.
Always talking about music because that's where we came from.
Yeah.
So it always kind of got drugged back. We'd be doing a film or BTS for a film or whatever else, but it'll always be like in the in-between moments, we'd be talking about the music stuff.
Real talk. And the funny thing about it, when we met, right, I was doing a little short for you. As an actor, I first moved out here, right?
The lowrider with the curls.
With the lowrider. I had the long hair with the Shirley locks.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And this is before, because I noticed that homie in, Paid in Full, he had did my little move. Because I had the glasses with no lens. Remember?
I remember you itching your eye.
And I scratched my eye through the lens that wasn't there.
During the shoot.
During the shoot, you know what I'm saying? And I had the Shirley locks looking like Snoop and shit.
Man.
Yeah.
I remember that scene more than anything. Obviously, that's the first time you and I had linked up.
Mm-hmm.
But I also remember that night because we had like all the OG essays. They had brought the lowriders to the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really know them like that. And you know, I'm new to LA.
Yeah.
So I still, I got the hammer on me.
And we
filming.
Yeah.
And that light, remember the light that almost fell on the car?
I do, yeah.
Big light, 30 feet up in the air started to come down.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw man, I saw them ready to go to war across the street as it was coming down towards their car.
Yeah.
And then I had some crew member came and like scooped it.
I remember that.
And grabbed it. Yeah. And then when I talked to you about it, you was like, you had hammer.
Yeah, yeah, man. Because listen, you got to think, bro. Yeah. When I moved out here to L.A., man, almost 20 years ago, man, I was still rough around the edges. Like, you know, I was still a rapper. So when I came to do your shoot, I had on a Dickie suit. Remember, I had on a khaki suit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a strap on me and one in the car. Because, you know, that's just how we roll. I used to go to audition strapped up, bro.
Yeah.
Like, literally. Big. Yeah. Because I, you know, I'm like, I'm new out here. Hey, you know what I mean?
I got, you already know. I won't say too much, but I've gotten in trouble because I still move around like that. And I've had my run-ins, you know what I mean? I've had my problems because of it. But,
but you know, you got to be careful out here in L.A., bro, because these motherfuckers is dialed in. Like, it's, you know, for these out-of-towners, man, when you come to L.A., you think it's Hollywood and all that, man, you got to be careful because that gang shit, and then it's just so much game, so much hustle, so much... It's everywhere on so many different levels. You know what I'm saying? Yes. And people know people. And you think you in the Valley. You think you in Beverly Hills. You think you in the Hollywood Hills. You think you safe. You're really not.
I wasn't, man. I wasn't. I'll be honest. I was, I grew up in Cali. So, and I think it's the same in KC. The gang politics is.
For sure.
It's LA based.
Right.
I think it starts here.
Right.
And it spreads out. So I don't want to say that we get a watered down version, but. Mm-hmm. Like, but it's thick here.
Yeah, it is somewhat watered down. Yeah,
but I don't even want to say that because it was real where I was from too.
In Kansas City, I'm gonna say in terms of the infrastructure, because out here, you know, you have generations of
gang.
You know what I mean? You got the uncle, the auntie, my mama, my daddy, and all them. You know what I'm saying? Generations where, you know, in Kansas City, it was kind of, you know, we wasn't born into it, was sworn into it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was. I mean, we're not that far apart. I was born in '81. So there was we was probably like second generation, because there's older people than me from my neighborhood. I've never been in a gang, but the gang existed in my neighborhood. I'm from North Highlands. It was definitely a Crip neighborhood when I was growing up. There's been different sets there, but predominantly it was like a Crip neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But coming to LA, I think the thing that was weird for me is Sacramento is really a diverse city.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to KC with you, and I know that it's not like that on Prospect.
Right.
But you do have like white boys and Asians and Latinos and everybody living together in Del Paso Heights in Sacramento, which is, you know, that's one of the hoods.
Yeah.
Or in Oak Park or in North Highlands where I'm from. It's real diverse. So coming to LA for me, especially to the Valley, it was crazy to see like the segregation and the gang politics totally different.
Right.
And I was definitely, you know, I mean, I had the hammer on me because I was like, I don't understand it out here.
Yeah.
Like I'm just trying to stay safe because I don't understand what's happening out here. Yeah. It's super segregated and it's different than where I'm from.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy because my experience coming out here, bruh. Well, for one, you know, I used to come out here in the 80s. So I used to go to Inglewood, but I was a kid. You know what I mean? That was before really having an understanding. But then in the 90s, I used to come out here on some other shit that we ain't going to talk about, right? So I kind of knew the lay of the land.
Some things don't need to be discussed.
You feel me? You know what I'm saying? So, but then when I moved out here, bro, for me, it was a culture shock because I moved from Kansas City right to Brentwood.
I remember. I came to the spot.
Man.
Yeah.
So I promise you, bro, like... At night, I remember it being so deafening quiet. So, you know what I'm saying? It was eerie almost. And I was like, why is it so quiet over here? You know what I mean? I literally had to adjust.
Were you coming from Prospect?
Nah. I mean, I was coming from, I had moved out the hood prior to me moving to Cali. But it was different. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing when you visit somewhere opposed to when you move there. Visiting is way different. You know what I'm saying? Oh. So once I lived there, I lived here and I moved to Brentwood. And those in L.A. know what I mean when I say Brentwood. You know, it's a she high end area, you know. And I mean, I still got braids. I'm still on my court dog rapper shit, you know. And but one thing that I did learn, bruh, it was like you're made to feel your color because it was still very segregated. So we just had white and black. It wasn't really a melting pot like L.A.
Yeah.
But one thing that I learned when I came here and I moved to Brentwood, I learned that it was less of a racial thing and more of an economic thing. Because
in L.A.
In L.A.
Okay.
Because they treated me they it's like they accepted me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because they figure you can afford to live over here, so you're one of us. That was kind of the vibe that I got.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because
I was in the big body. You had the bands.
I was doing my thing. You know what I'm saying? And so I remember this old Jewish lady in my building. She was real nice. She used to literally invite me in for like tea and shit like that. I low key thought she was trying to hit on me, you know? And yeah. I mean, she was like 70 something, yeah. you know, at the time. She probably dead now, but. You know, she was old. I mean, wrinkly, too. Right. Like, but kind of Judge Judy-ish. But okay. Judge Judy was low key cute. You know what I mean? So she wasn't as cute.
You're saying Judy could have got it.
Judge Judy was a sexiness about Judge Judy. You know what I mean? I ain't even going to lie. You know,
Judy could have got it.
Yeah.
There's a whole nother podcast, but I went bowling with Judge Judy.
Really?
Yeah, I was working on. I mean, we talk about TV shit later.
Yeah.
Because that's further down the road. Yeah. But yeah, I was messing with a chick. And she worked on Judge Judy, but we were on the same lot with the Tribune lot, right off of Sunset and the freeway.
Yeah.
That tower that's there.
Yeah.
That's where Judge Judy filmed. And she had a Christmas party and she's like, yeah, come. And we went to the Lucky Strike. Man. And like, I'm like a couple drinks in. I'm next to Judy, just bowling.
Is she a little chick?
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Yeah.
She looked like she
could have got it though.
Yeah. Yeah. And Judge Judy was sexy to be an old chick. You know what I'm saying? But
the verdict is in.
Yeah, for sure. You know what I mean? And the lady, man, she was just so sweet. She always was really nice to me, you know. So I learned that's what it was about L.A. And then when I would go back home, again, you kind of made to feel your color. You know what I'm saying? You know.
You know the crazy part for me, tapping into that same thing. I think, you know, now it's 2021. There's all sorts of conversation about race relations and white privilege and everything. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I fully understood or maybe I was just too young too, or grasped that concept until I moved to LA. Cause I'll tell you what happened. So in Sacramento, white boys are crazy. I'm gonna be honest. Sacramento's crazy. Like anybody who talk about Sacramento, they'll be like the white dudes out there talk like they black or they, you know, they got gold grills and they tatted up. And some of the hitters from these hoods is white guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it'd be white dudes out there putting in work.
Mm-hmm.
And people say that about me. Though. Where are you from, Louisiana? Why you talk like that? Or, you know, they ask.
I tell people when you take your shirt off, bro, because you all tatted up, you look like a Mexican. Like, just got out, you know what I'm saying? I said Mexican, you know what I mean?
But so the thing is like, I don't come from the gang. Mm. I come from the neighborhood, though, where it exists. Mm. We got Norteños and we got Crips. And then we got the ops, the rivalhoods and everything. And you know how it is because you say you never claimed, right? Mm-hmm. You're kind of affiliated. Like my friends is who I grew up with, and some of them is in the gang. So you know, you kind of ducking shots every now and then, or like, oh shit, that ain't for me, but I'm here. You know what I mean? That ain't meant for me, but I'm here. But so everything in Sacramento was cracking, and for me growing up until I was 20, I'm there. I don't really see the difference. I had a close friend, and it ain't all because of this, but I had a close friend who was murdered. I had a bunch of shit going on in SAC, and then I had Leslie, who you knew I was dating at the time. Mm-hmm. She was like, what are you doing here? You got all this talent and all these aspirations, like, and you always talk about going down to LA and making your shit happen. You should just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did. Getting to the point though, I moved to LA as a white guy, not from a neighborhood or anything else. And I was just like, I just want to work.
Right.
Instantly. I felt the privilege. Wow. Cause it's like, yeah, he's a fucking white guy. Let him in.
Wow.
Like, let him in. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Because out here, I don't want to say, you say that you're made to feel your color back home, right?
Yeah.
Out here, being white, I instantly understood privilege. Because back home, if he was a white dude from where I'm from, chances are people would be like, yeah, he's from the hood, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I went to a junior college out there in the nice area. And I remember one of the professors shitting on the north side. And I'm sitting in the back of the class like, bitch, I'm from fucking, like, as you shitting on it. Right, like, I'm from there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But coming out here, it didn't matter. It was just like, yeah, he's just a white guy.
Wow.
Like, just, you just blend in.
Yeah.
And that's probably the same back home. I just didn't feel it because of where I was from.
Yeah. And then you moving in a different circle, too. I mean, you had some criminal shit back then, so.
Yeah. No, shit happened.
Yeah.
You know, shit went down.
So, once you realized that, how did that make you feel? Like,
honestly, dude, I see how the advantages and disadvantages in life work, because it's like I could play a new set of cards because I do got this privilege and I could play that set of cards. I hopefully, and you know, you would be a good testament to this because you've been here with the 20 years that I've been here.
Right.
Hopefully when I play my hand, I'm still cognizant or aware that I'm bringing my people with me. And when I say my people,
you do. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, if you look around at my crew and the people who work, like, it's my people. You
for
know,
sure.
They're like,
for sure.
When I say my people, it could be white dudes. It's a lot of black dudes. It's Latinos.
Yeah.
You know, my kids are half Puerto Rican.
Right.
Like
right.
I'm still connected to that culture that I come from.
Mm-hmm.
But I do realize I could play a different game, which is crazy. That was the crazy part of like, oh, I could play in a whole new.
That's a beautiful thing. And the thing about it is the fact that you have the humility and intelligence, you know, to see it. Because, you know, you have a lot of, you know, white people that, what? There's no white. No, we're all the same.
Or they get defensive.
Yeah, they get defensive.
No, I'm from the, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps.
Right. You know.
It's like, yeah, but you still got this on your side.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's one thing I always appreciate about you too, bro. I mean, you always kept it 1,000. Like, that's the thing about you basically, you know, and I ain't going to repeat the conversations that we had when you would call me when you was producing a, you know, Housewives and shit. I ain't going, you know what I'm saying?
Don't blow it, no.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But, you know, you knew that, okay, I can get in the door. You know what I'm saying? I can get in the meeting. They going to put me in position. But what they don't know is who I'm bringing with me. You know what I'm saying?
you opened the door.
Yeah.
You just didn't know the squad was coming.
Exactly.
You ever had someone come to the studio when you was a rapper and you was like, yeah, I booked them, but they brought the whole crew?
Yeah, for sure.
That's what it was.
I used to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you booked me.
Yeah.
You just didn't know I booked the crew.
Man, I remember one time, even with No Limit, we was somewhere in Atlanta. And we was down there for something, and it was just supposed to be P. It was Master P. And I bullshit you not, dude, we was like 100 deep. And I remember they was all on the walkie-talkies like, man, the No Limit soldiers are here.
Yeah.
And they really like an army. It's like 100 of them.
All in fatigues.
They didn't even know.
Everybody.
They thought it was just going to be P and an assistant. Man,
it don't like work 100 like that.
Of us.
Nah, I think, look, man, I think for, and why I don't want to get too derailed because we got so many other things, but I do think for white folks, stop being defensive. Like, privilege, look, man, you could be low-class white. You could be from the gutter and pull yourself up. Just understand that it's different. It's different.
That's it.
It's different levels to it. You don't have to be ashamed of that. You don't have to be ashamed of use it to your advantage.
Use it to your advantage.
Man, you know, I caught a little case.
Yeah.
At that point, I was a little older and I was actually down here.
Mm-hmm.
I'd already moved from SAC when I caught a more serious case. And it was one of them moments where I was like, ooh, all right, I'm going to play all these cards. Because
judge.
Yeah. Now, when they hit me, and my ex-wife was there, but when they hit me after the arraignment and everything with, like, the years, I was like, oh, we playing this card.
Yeah, fucking right. I played it, too.
Yeah.
I'd have played it,
we
too.
We playing this card. This is the white card. Does it help? You know what I mean? Could it help? And it did. It totally did. And I won't get into the depths of it, but it worked in my favor. But that's the thing people have to realize. I'm not ashamed that it worked in my favor.
Yeah, for sure.
It is fucked up that it doesn't work in everyone's favor.
You're right. But
because people are good people. Like, people get caught on some bullshit, but genuinely be good people.
Yeah.
I got caught on some bullshit that it was my fault.
Yeah.
on my little shit that I caught, right. But also like I'm a good person,
right?
You know what I mean?
Right, for
most of the time, I'm
for
a good guy. So,
but you know how it would be different if it was me in your situation.
Hell yeah,
they would have railroaded the fuck out of me.
Man, I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna say some real shit because we've been around each other's family. Mm-hmm. I've been around your kids since before of them were born,
for sure.
You know what I mean? So nephew, your son, there was one point, and I don't even think you realize how poignant it was when I was at your house and you was talking about. He's a good kid. He's a sweet kid. We talk about how our kids ain't like how we grew up, right?
Yeah, for sure.
He's a sweet kid. But, you know, he dressing the part. And, and you know, you always say, you know, you act the part, you might get the role.
Yep.
And it was in the height. This is years ago. But in the height of, like, young black men getting shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just started having kids, two sons.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit me. And I don't think I ever even told you this. We was having this conversation. And you was talking about your son, who's much older than mine. And I was thinking about my kids. And I was like, man. Not only do I feel that privilege is different, but like this is my brother, right? Like this is my bro.
Mm-hmm.
His kids is like family to me. We done traveled the world internationally together. I got love for Yomi and the fam. And I was like, I don't have to think about my kids
The
same. Because my kids, even though they're half Puerto Rican, they came out white as shit.
Yeah.
even though their mom is dark.
Yeah.
And when they go back to the Bronx, their family is black and Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
But my kids is white.
Right.
White presenting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when they run around the park with squirt guns and whatever, I was just like, I was listening to you. This is way back in the day. And I'm listening to you talk. Maybe it was when Tamir Rice got shot whatever.
Yeah.
And we was just having some sort of conversation and you was relating it to your son. And I was like, damn, that's fucked up.
Man.
Because you're family to me. And I was like, I don't have to mentally think about that.
Dog.
And that's fucked up.
It's crazy that you just said that because I bullshit you not. And then we'll move on. But
just
a few days ago, my son will be 21 and my son is on the spectrum. You know, he's autistic.
Yeah.
And but he's higher functioning. You know what I mean? But if you don't know that there's a deficit, you won't know. You know what I mean? Because he was walking.
He's been doing PA work for us.
He's the production assistant.
Yeah, shout out, nephew.
shout out to Courtney the Third. Yeah, you know what I mean? But literally the other day he walked to Target and I had thought to myself, I was like, damn, he does it all the time. But just for whatever reason that day, I was like, I don't know if I should let him go because, you know, he'll be 21. He looks like a regular young black man walking through the suburbs. But certain things he just doesn't understand. You might say something to him and he doesn't catch it. He doesn't understand what you're saying the first time out. And I was like, man, what if the police, you know what I'm saying, stopped him and something was going on? And
he's a little shaky.
Yeah. And they're being aggressive with him and they telling him this and he don't get it. You know what I'm saying? He looks like a young man, but he's just not processing.
Yeah.
And I almost told him, nah, man, I'll take you.
I'll just drop.
You know what I'm saying?
But see, that's fucked up. And I know that about your son because I brought up and I mentioned to you a while ago that it didn't happen at the time. But when we did the premiere, I went to the restroom and your son was in there and it was like I don't want to say a gang. I don't want to classify people as gang. There was like a gangster dude in the bathroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of like mean mug. And again, that's nephew. And I have my brother-in-law with me too.
Mm-hmm.
Cheyenne, you know, Cheyenne, big dude.
Yep.
So, like, we both saw it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of was like, hey, man, you good? To the dude. Your son was totally oblivious to the fact
exactly.
And because you was in the zone and you was out with P in the lobby and you guys were doing your thing, I was like.
I had no idea. Yeah.
Well, so my thing is I got you. We family.
For sure.
Ain't nothing going to happen over here. Like, we good. So, I think it passed because you was busy. You was doing the thing for the movie for the I Got the Hookup 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't anything serious because as soon as I said something to dude and Cheyenne standing next to me and everything else, it was like, no, we're good.
Yeah.
But I do know that about your kid because your kid was just like washing his hands.
He's a sweet kid. Yeah. And they didn't grow up like we did.
Nah.
You know, he doesn't know.
But he looked the part, which is why the dude was mugging him.
Exactly.
He came in and he got like nice outfit, nice sneakers.
Yeah.
And so dude's me mugging him. And I was like, what's up?
That's crazy.
You good,
and he
bro?
Don't even know this is a young black kid. He might have been, my son might have been 18, you know, 19.
Yeah, maybe. 3-4 years ago.
You know what I'm saying? But the, you know, mental of, on certain areas of a 12-year-old. You ain't even, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the thing about it, you know.
That's the crazy part, too. Mm-hmm. Again, I value the relationships I have back home, the experiences. Understanding where I fit into the world, and even the relationships that I've had that are I consider it, I don't take on friends a lot. I don't know how you are, but we've been friends for 20 years.
Yeah.
You one of my newest friends.
Right. Real talk.
Man, my ex-wife used to say all the time, you don't like nobody. I was like, I don't.
Nah,
like,
bro.
I don't like people like that. You really have to like, I don't want to say prove yourself.
Yeah.
But like, we got it. The dudes around me that you know here at the studio, because, you know, we've been in business for a long time. I've known them for 18 years.
Yeah.
Shortly after you.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of people in that time between us. Like, nah, you know, it ain't everybody.
I'm going to tell you, bro, one thing, because I've had people ask me, you know, how I've been able to navigate, you know, out here in the streets. And I tell people, man, you have to know the difference between. I know the difference between my street friends, my Hollywood friends, and my real friends. I know the difference. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know the difference between friends and associates as well, you know, and you keep it in perspective. And then, you know, when it all, you know, within doubt, you always go back to the streets. You know what I'm saying? I don't let motherfuckers know where I live. I don't bring motherfuckers to the house. If you've been to my house and met my family, you're a friend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't give a shit. And it's no shade to nobody else, but, you know, you just keep it how it is, you know? Yeah. You know, you keep it on the level. I give respect freely. That's why I ain't had no problems out here. I ain't had no problems out here in 20 years.
Yeah, I can't say
nothing to mention. Well, no, I have, but
I was gonna say I know. I know a couple instances.
Yeah, but not nothing related to you know, no.
It ain't real shit.
Yeah,
it ain't.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you know what I mean.
Nah. Anyway, we just got super deep.
I know,
that's
right?
How our shit be going though all the time. But
hey, but so my thing is coming from Sac, man. Like Sac and Kansas City musically have always had. We've had this kinship, the Bay and Kansas City, and I have a love hate relationship with that. You know what I'm saying?
Let's clarify though, because I don't think Sac is the Bay.
No, you're right.
Sac got a different
Sac
vibe.
Is not the Bay.
Because people fuck that up all the time. And they'd be like, you a Bay Area dude. I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm from Sacramento.
Just like I'm from Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh,
Kansas.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying?
There's a line.
Difference. If you in Kansas City, Missouri, and you say, man, you can't in fighting words, you know what I'm saying? Motherfucker be ready to take off.
I don't think it's necessarily fighting words because we love the Bay. But if you look at, all right, so. Let's think of the big rappers from Sac, right?
Right.
The top three back in the day is going to be Bo, Rated, Lynch.
Yep.
And then today is probably like Mozzie and I don't know what, Lavish D. Some of the people.
That I would probably put Lavish D in there.
Yeah, the people getting notoriety right now.
Yeah.
And there's other, you know, Mozzie has a whole camp full of people to get.
Right.
But like that doesn't sound like E-40 and.
Absolutely.
And it's not the same.
Sac was always, very different musically than the Bay.
Yeah.
Very different.
So I just draw the line because sometimes I think they're in the hyphy shit. I think there are Sacramento people. And I think that's why some Sac dudes, and I personally am one of them, to get offended because it's like, I understand the movement. I supported it and loved it.
Yeah.
Because I love, you know my favorite artist, E-40.
Oh, yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
And my second would be Spice. And like, I'm above and beyond just Sac dude. I love Sacramento rappers, but I love Bay music.
Right.
But I am from Sacramento. So I try to draw that line like, nah,
There is a distinction.
We're Sacramento.
I mean, because Sac always, it was completely, because Bay was more, if you get into the.
It's player.
The nuances,
It's mob.
Yeah, it's more funk. It's
it
more
is.
Funk driven. You
we,
know?
We was gangbanging.
So listen, exactly. Yeah. So this is the thing. Like, a lot of people want to debate what the mob sound is, especially in my city, right?
Oh,
I grew up on mob music, so I know what that is. You talking about Mike Mosley, Sam Bostick, K-Lou, Al Eaton. You know, it's heavy bass lines. It's a lot of shit that's really rooted in from funk.
Yeah.
It's all funkadelic. It's all that funk.
You look
Parliament.
If you look at Drew Down.
Right.
And you look at Mac Dre, even back then, they planned the Bootsy Collins role.
Right.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
It's funky.
Yeah, absolutely. But then.
And I love it. You know,
when you get to Sac was gangbanging.
Gangbanging. And they didn't have that in the Bay.
You know what
they
I'm saying?
I mean, maybe today. Maybe today. Yeah. And let me not speak for the Bay, because I don't know everyone. I know that there's sets in the Bay.
But by large, they didn't have Crips and Bloods like Sac did.
But I'm born in 81.
Yeah.
So my childhood is like early 90s.
Okay.
That's like me.
Right.
It's different for me. Jumping off the porch is something different. Because, again, I didn't, you know, I'm not in a gang. So, But I was in the streets in the early 90s, and there was gangbanging in Sacramento.
Right.
And I would go to the Bay to visit family. My grandmother's from Vallejo, originally born in Vallejo. Mm-hmm. I had family and friends in the Bay. Mm-hmm. They didn't have gangs like Sacramento. We was, fifth, sixth grade, fools was claiming a set.
Yeah.
There was a kid who tried to punk me on the basketball court. We got into like a whole little fight the whole night. But he was gangbanging. I had on the wrong color, apparently. I'm a kid, bro. I'm super, I don't know nothing, man. I'm a mama's son. You know what I mean? Like, and he's like, oh, this is North Highlands Crip. And I'm like, what's that? I don't even know what that is. NWA just come out, bro. Yeah. Like, we just listening to like LA shit. Yeah. I don't even know, bro. At the time, I'm still listening to what my parents listen to, bro. I'm listening to Prince or my mom listening to Bon Jovi. Or, you know what I mean?
Bon Jovi was the shit.
Yeah. They listening to Skid Row. And,
Journey. And
Journey.
Yeah.
And so he's like, this is Crip. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is, bro. Then people would say I was a rocker kid because I listened to my parents' music.
Right.
Because rap wasn't that prevalent. I didn't grow up. See, the difference is in Sacramento, I don't really, maybe we did. I'm a white guy too, so it's different. But like, I didn't grow up on like early rap.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even have like an affinity. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I have since gone back and listened, but I didn't grow up on like Sugar Hill Gang and all that shit.
Yeah.
I grew up on Prince, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
Journey. We were just talking about this on Facebook the other day. Same thing. Like before, because you had Sugar Hill Gang, but. You know, I'm in the Midwest. So, again, we understand that the Furious Five and all those Melly Mel, that was prominent up in the East Coast. But when you filter out to the rest of the country, we really didn't get it like that.
Nah, so I wasn't doing Curtis Blow.
So, so we had...
Not even Rakim for me and none of that.
Man, I was listening to Duran Duran and Hall & Oates and shit. And Cyndi Lauper and Culture Club, you know, because that's what we had, you know. But
that was the mainstream. Guns N' Roses.
That was the mainstream.
Whatever was mainstream.
And it's even for black folks, you know what I'm saying? Now, of course, in my household, now that's TV. Now, in my household, of course, you have Earth, Wind, and Fire, Michael Jackson, Alicia Myers, Anita Baker, shit like that. But my taste of rap, once I really got, I remember Run DMC and I remember Fat Boys.
I remember Run DMC.
They were more
too.
Like a novelty.
I remember that because of Aerosmith.
Right.
Because
they
did that crossover.
They walked this way.
They did the crossover.
They walked this way. Yeah. Exactly. So that's when I got on Run DMC with the Aerosmith shit.
Yeah. But let's be honest, that's also because MTV wouldn't play black folks.
Exactly.
So like, I'm only watching, and we was poor. We didn't even have MTV, but really like you didn't get access to black music if you weren't.
Okay. See, in Kansas City, we had 103. We had KPRS, which was the urban station. So the shit that they was playing in my house, I was hearing on the radio as well, Marvin Gaye and all of that.
Yeah.
But in terms of rap, no.
We probably had it on the radio. I'm just thinking of what I visually saw.
Right.
Like it wasn't.
Yeah, visually, no. All we saw was Michael Jackson, Prince, and all the shit we named.
And like, barely that. They even had their problems.
You gotta think, it was only MTV.
Yeah.
Yo, what's going on? Hope all is well. I'm Duke.
I'm Omar.
I'm Jalan, and this is Nice and Neat, the podcast.
We're three quintessential friends dedicated to the 360-degree development of men.
Our goal is to not only share our experiences, but offer as much value as we possibly can through the lessons we've learned along the way.
When I say we talk about everything, we talk about everything. Character, discipline, career development. Oh, and let me not forget, we get real personal.
Now make sure you subscribe so you never miss any of our episodes. Write a review, let us know what you think. Enjoy.
Yeah. And then you had these little offshoot.
Remember the box?
But that was even in the 90s.
Yes.
In the 80s, you had these little offshoot video shows that would come and go. Because I remember, then you had Video Soul. But Video Soul was what it is, Video Soul. You know what I mean? So, but I remember Run DMC and it was like, but when I heard Ice-T, you know what I'm saying? When I heard Squeeze the Trigger, which was probably by 86, 85, I was like, oh shit, there's something different. That and Ghetto Boys Making Trouble.
Yeah, you know, for me, man, people back home are going to clown me for this, but look. This whole show is about being authentic.
Yeah, authentic.
So I got to
say what it is. Yeah,
I'm too old to pretend to be something different. For me, and you've probably even heard me say this. For me, I'm listening to what my parents listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the offshoot of what they're listening to. My parents wasn't listening to like Guns N' Roses, which to them was left of Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi's real safe hair band rock and roll.
Right.
Axl Rose was different.
Yeah.
He had a fucking alien raping a chick on the cover of his the inside of the Appetite for Destruction album.
He used to be on one.
He was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was out there and I liked their music because at that time, fifth grade or whatever, you starting to be like, nah, that's what my parents listened to. But it was almost instantaneous for me. I'm listening to that type of rock and roll, which my parents wasn't subscribing to. I had an uncle, my Uncle Jesse, who listened to that Guns N' Roses shit. And I was like, oh, yeah, Uncle Jesse always got this like tape.
Is that the one that raised his hand in third grade?
No, that's my mom's brother.
Okay.
He a whole nother story. But anyway, so he's listening to that. Yeah. So when I start paying attention to them, Axl Rose used to rock an NWA hat.
Yeah. Yep.
He's been, you could go look out, you could Google it.
And Easy was cool, I think.
Him and
was it him and Easy?
There's pictures of him and Ice Cube.
Okay,
and
yeah, him and Easy was cool back
then. I think Slash did a song with somebody.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
Axl was on.
Yeah.
Now Axl, he said some fuck shit over the last couple of years that's got him in trouble. I like Guns N' Roses music. I don't know his politics or wherever he's at, but I think he's. I mean, I don't know. I think he's a good dude. I think he said some fuck shit racially that got him in trouble.
I went up on it,
But I'm listening. This is 80s, 90s shit.
Yeah.
But I remember that for me, the connection to rap, you said it's Ice-T for you. It was N.W.A. for me. Mm-hmm. And the crazy part is, I know you have your Tupac theory too, where he's not high on your list.
Yeah.
I wasn't a huge N.W.A. fan.
Yeah.
But they were the first connection where I listened to it. And I was like, ooh, this is... Now I understand what this kid claiming Crip.
Yeah.
The kid banging on me.
Yeah.
The kid banging on me. I was like, oh, I get it. It's that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you're imitating that because, again, I think there was already a generation of gangbanging happening.
Yeah.
But like, I got it.
Yeah.
I got it. I was like, oh, okay, I understand. And plus, we lived in a poor neighborhood. So I was like, I get it.
Yeah, my introduction into gangbanging was, and I know I said it before, you know, in Kansas City, I'm from the faux block, which is the 40s, you know.
Yeah.
I grew up two blocks east of Prospect, Chestnut, and I'm second generation over there. My mother and my aunt grew up in the same house I grew up in. And I just remember, man, when Starter Coats came out, because I'm a few years older than you. Well, I'm 5 years older than you. So I remember I had my mother bought me a Cardinals jacket, red Cardinals jacket. I'm excited as shit. I'm like, got my Starter Coat. Man, I'm walking through the neighborhood, man, and this dude, I ain't even going to say his name because
I'm trying to keep away from names.
No, I'm going to tell you why I ain't going to say his name. This is the funny part about it. I just found this out recently, but so I'm going to tell the story. So I'm walking through the neighborhood and so he's older than me. He's about 5, 4, 5, 6 years older than me. And he said, hey, you nigga, you can't be wearing that over here. So I was like, what? You know, I'm a little kid. I'm like 12. And he's like, yeah, we Crips. So I'm like, the fuck is a Crip?
Bro, you was in my boat.
I was like, what is that? So anyway, man, I go home. I tell my mama, man, I need a new Starter Coat.
Yeah.
She's like, why? What's wrong with that? I said, man.
Them shits wasn't cheap either.
Yeah, right. And I'm like, man, we Crips over here. I can't wear this. I'm, you know, she's like, what the fuck is a Crip? I'm like, man, hey, such and such said we Crips.
Yeah.
So that was the first time that I got introduced to what that was. Now, fast forward, I told this story on Facebook just for one of the homies from my hood to hit me and say, hey, that was funny that you said that because that guy, you know, he's a blood now, right?
Oh, he switched?
He switched.
Sides?
Oh. He switched. And so I go to his Facebook profile. Yeah. I was like, damn, like you were super Crip back in the 80s. And now
he turned you on to the gangbang.
Dog, you know what I'm saying? I was like, I thought, what happened to we Crips?
It was early on. It was, man, you got to give him a pass.
I guess so.
It was early.
Maybe he was just like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do this temporary thing with this Crip, see where this take me.
Yeah, what did the Breon, what our guest say? He was just a temporary Crip.
Yeah, he was temporary. Yeah. Shout out to Breon, said he Crip for a day.
Yeah.
A week. No, it was a week.
Yeah.
But they didn't have no ops.
We had ops. But the funny thing with me, man, is I think as I got older, obviously there's more gang influence and more gang influence, and it just became more prominent.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I grew up a square, but like, here's the thing. I actually was in the shit because my mom, who you know well, she's young, bro. My mom barely older than you.
She had you. Yeah, right. Your mother had you like 15. Right?
She did. She was 15 years old living in North Highland. I'm really from North Highland. It's like some people say they from the north side.
Exactly. That's what I say about
My mom was at Highlands High School in North Highlands living on Largemont and Watt, which is, you know, that's like, that's in the hood. And she, you know, she was young and out there in the hood. And, and my dad was young too. And they had me. I was born at Kaiser North. Came right back, and we're for an Italian family.
Yeah.
Crazy Italian family. My grandma was going through shit. She was like, sorry, you wanted to be a grown woman, now go be one. And just gave her the push out the door. So the thing is, like, probably because my mom and dad was lames. Like, they ain't, you know, they both white. My mom's Italian. My dad's a white dude. So they in the hood, but again, it's diverse.
Yeah.
Sacramento's a diverse area, and North Highlands at the time is diverse too. There used to be a military base that was prominent there. Mm-hmm. And I think when that shut down, really drove our neighborhood down because all the jobs in that area were gone.
Right.
So all of a sudden you get like the influx of like low income housing. Mm-hmm. But dude, I'm really from the north side. I was around it the whole time. I guess I was just blind to it. I was a mama's boy.
Yeah, when you in it, you don't really you don't see it like that.
Like people talk about North Highlands and they glorify certain areas. So like A Street, that's the equivalent of like the Prospect, right?
Right.
Watt Avenue, A Street.
Right.
Like I really lived over there. Like, like I lived in Omega Court, which is apartments that some of the rappers out there be like, yeah, we slid on Omega Court. Or we like I was in there as a kid, you know what I mean? Not knowing anything about politics or whatever else. That's just where we lived.
Mm-hmm.
But we was poor. So like I lived in like 30 plus different places. We moved all the time.
Wow.
Because we get booted. Yeah. Section 8 would get pulled. You move somewhere. So like everybody who claimed a different area, because North Highlands started to break up into like and have their little cliques. But I lived in all of them. I lived in North Highlands. I lived, I guess if like you was going up and down Prospect, you had like the 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
And I lived in all the hood. I was on the Greenholm side, which was just a side of North Islands. I was off of 8th Street. I lived off of Largemont and Watt.
That's crazy.
We just bounced around back in Sac. We have these triplexes.
Uh-huh.
That's like that. We don't really have projects. Sacramento don't got projects.
Right, right.
We just got apartments.
Right.
Some shitty apartments. Yeah. So,
which, okay, projects.
Yeah.
They turn it to the project.
The rappers will call it projects.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's apartments.
Yeah.
It's shitty apartment living. And
I mean,
low income in Section 8, but it's not like L.A. got like the Nickerson Gardens.
Right, right.
The East Coast got, and New Orleans and shit got projects.
They got projects.
Sacramento ain't built like that. We kind of more like the South L.A. area. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of houses, front yards.
That's how Kansas City is. Because, I mean, you can come to Kansas City and places like KC, Cleveland, even Chicago. You know, Chicago has its areas of its tenement buildings and all that. But
they used to tore all the projects down in Chicago.
Yeah, but like the neighborhoods. Cabrini Greens. Yeah, but you'll come to Kansas City and think, oh, shit, they got house. You know, I grew up in a house with a basement, big house, three-story yard, backyard. You know, but it's, you know, just like L.A.
It's cracking.
You can get food over there in the 60s in View Park. You go over there thinking these lush yards and these big houses in the palm trees and shit, and you right there in
the most
bullshit.
Notorious, if you think of Sacramento and the shit over the years, what are the neighborhoods you've heard? Garden Block, Oak Park.
Mm-hmm.
And those are like suburban residential communities. Mm-hmm. They houses, 4-bedroom, 2-bath houses, like all those neighborhoods. Shitty apartments, you know, sprinkled in everywhere. But fuck, man, the Garden Block area off of Meadowview is nice now. They built that whole area up. They put a real nice shopping center over there on the other side of the freeway. It's called like the Pocket area, and it's right by the river.
Mm-hmm.
And like that shit is nice.
But they gentrifying this shit all up.
Oh, yeah.
And
they've been doing that for years.
The crazy thing about it with my childhood, I tell people all the time, bro, I had a beautiful childhood. Like I'm an only child. So, you know, My grandmother was a RN, you know, my mother was educated. So like I grew up like really in the hood, but I had a beautiful childhood.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't really until, you know, the environment is what I had I had to adjust to the environment, you know, because even growing up in the faux block, like even before it was the faux block, I was there. You know what I'm saying? And that didn't come until the influx of the L.A. cats coming down there with their work and, you know, bringing that gang understanding. But to be honest with you, for me, it was really hanging with my older cousin. And he lived out south in the 60s.
That's how it be, man.
Is an older cousin.
It's always how it be. So I got an older cousin.
I got an older cousin. So my cousin is the one, I'll be honest with you. I ain't going to put the 2 on the 10. My older cousin and his crew, SSP, Southside Posse, shout out to Southside Posse. Them the motherfuckers that introduced me to the gangster shit.
It was tearing shit up.
I ain't even going to lie. It was them. And I would be
that
with
ain't
my
it, that ain't even your hood. No.
But it's funny because in the early 90s, once I hit high school, I was more affiliated with them than even Faux Block. See, the funny thing about it, I was more affiliated with Southside up until I started becoming more verbal on record representing Faux Block.
Yeah.
But in the city, people was like, oh, yeah, SSP. And I got in shit in behind being affiliated with them, like real shit, because them niggas was really putting in work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I remember I would be with my cousin on the weekend, man, and he would take me around, you know what I'm saying? And I would come back to the hood, to my guys in the hood, and be like, dog, we need to get some guns. because these yeah. motherfuckers crazy. You know what I'm yeah. saying? They exposed me to a yeah. lot. And I always said that, man, it was Southside Posse that exposed that thing in me I didn't know was there.
Yeah.
You know, that I ain't going to say it was a good thing, but it yeah. was there. And they showed me like, oh, yeah, nigga, you got that killer instinct, too.
That environment is a crazy thing, mm-hmm. man, because I would almost agree with you.
Yeah.
Although my life is a little different.
Yeah.
So I have an interesting childhood because it wasn't sweet.
Like, yeah.
I think about it and I think I have a great childhood because it's full of beautiful memories.
Right.
Shout out to Mom Dukes, like, yeah. and my pops for what it's worth. Like, they did a good job. I cherish those memories, but everybody in my family is going to jail on drugs. Like, that's just what it was. Like, my uncles, my cousins, my mom's got two siblings, an uncle, my Uncle Joe. He's the one that raises his hand
third,
always in jail. Yeah. I mean, my Uncle Joe was with the shit. They were the ones that turned me on to so the NWA hat's the start of it. Mm-hmm. But then my cousin TJ, who's Latino, because he's got a different set of parents.
Mm-hmm.
But my cousin TJ and my Uncle Joe, they was on the rap shit, but they're older than me. So they was on the first E-40 tapes and the two short tapes when they was first coming out. So I'm like, yeah, the NWA hat. And he was like, fuck all that shit. Listen to this, you know, Mailman and the Federal.
Yeah.
And so that's where I got turned out on NorCal music and became a total fucking snob to where it's just NorCal for me.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie, dog. I shout out to my homeboy Franco, you know.
Yeah.
Franco, I never forget. He was the one that put me up on the click. Down and Dirty.
Down and Dirty.
He brought that tape to me. I was probably about 14, maybe.
Yeah.
He brought that tape to me, and I never heard nothing like it. I was like, you know, mind you, I'm NWA, Ghetto Boys. That's, you know what I'm saying? I'm on that South Central Cartel. But when I heard
But that's like mainstream at the time.
Yeah.
Click wasn't mainstream.
No, man. But it was the music in 40. It was like, oh, shit. I remember I listened to that whole Down and Dirty. Yeah. I probably knew that whole tape within a week.
Man.
You know what I mean?
So anyway, to my childhood point, though, like my shit wasn't sweet. My uncle's like in and out of jail. He's like sleeping with chicks that are prostituting.
Mm-hmm.
They staying on our couch.
Mm-hmm.
We in and out of apartments all the time, getting kicked out of here, moving over here. We moved around so much. That's like, I didn't even have friends. It was like, we'd be in the neighborhood and I start to get to know the kids. And be like, sorry, our shit got pulled. We're moving somewhere else.
Damn.
And I go somewhere else. I always went to the same elementary though.
Yeah.
Because North Highlands ain't that big.
Right, right.
So I'm moving through the different hoods, but I was at Hillsdale, which is across from Highlands High School. I had my circle of friends there, but I could never hang out with them because I'm always in a different part of town.
Right.
So I think my childhood was sweet at times, but it really wasn't. I think I had like a great upbringing, but shit was tough. You know what I mean? Like we was welfare living.
And especially, you know, as a child, it got to be tough for you because you don't have
no consistency.
Yeah, no consistency and not necessarily
I think children need a place
to you feel like you belong, you know what I'm saying? Where you have your footing, you know, but it's at least a good thing that you wasn't going from school to school to school. You know what I mean?
No, because we was always in the North area, but I think, again, for like the how we met, rappers and gang shit and rap music. And all. For me, that was environment too. It was it was the same cousin. We got a cousin story. It's my cousin TJ. Now, I was real close to my Uncle Joe, but my cousin TJ was with the shit. He's peeling cars. He's stealing people's shit. He's a stick-up kid. He's smoking weed. I'm young. This is my mom's cousin. This is my second cousin, my mom's first cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would be super ashamed. And she know all this already. Mm-hmm. But TJ was like, yo, we peeling some cars. You coming with us. Bro, I'm in fifth grade.
Yeah.
He's like, you going to, you know, grab a tape deck. You remember the old pullouts?
The pullouts, shit? Because you had to learn to not just take the pullout. Yeah. You had to take the chance.
And maybe that wasn't TJ who was telling me to do that. But I could tell you what TJ was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He was fucking these strippers and shit. Mm-hmm. And I was young. I'm a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I go over to my uncle's house, my Uncle Joe's house, and TJ with him. He got this little stripper bitch. He pulling the titties out, showing me the titties and shit. I'm like, I'm a kid, bro. Like, he's firing up the weed, passing it.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, you want to hit this? And I'm like, bro, like, it's kids raising kids at this point.
Yeah.
And so TJ, he's been in and out of prison, and he is on some Latino gang shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's in the gang shit.
Yeah.
But TJ was just my, like, all of a sudden, in my circle of friends, they started to see the difference. Now I'm listening to Bay Area music. I'm listening to gangster music. I'm not everybody back in the day make fun. Oh, Ken was just a rocker kid. Now all of a sudden, I got the big brick cell phones.
Yeah.
I'm moving little packs
moving
here and there.
Different, yeah.
I'm moving packs here and there. We're getting into junior high. I'm getting in trouble. I'm starting to carry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's TJ really turned me out to like, hey.
You know what? I have to shout out to TJ. You know what I'm
nah, not really.
Yeah, no, but he TJ, created Caucasian. You know
oh,
what I'm
shit,
saying?
No. That's hey, a whole different.
You know what? This is the funny thing about it. Now, to my cousin, you know, I mean, I say his name. You know, he be tripping and shit. You know, we older. You know how he get. You know what I'm saying? He be acting like a bitch sometime. Yeah, I said it, nigga. You know what I mean?
I don't even know TJ but, out right now.
You know what I'm saying?
He might be locked up. Got some money on your book, brother. I don't know where you at.
One thing I can say about my cousin, Junior, you know, He didn't do me. He actually tried to protect me in a way. Yeah. Cause even though he would have me around the shit, he would kind of try to protect me a little bit. And when I say like that is like, I can remember us getting in a shootout one time or he knew that it was about to go down. He seen some ops.
Yeah.
And I remember him literally like he was driving and he literally grabbed us in the back and he literally pulled me by my shirt and put me down and held me down.
Oh,
why
shit.
You know so he was trying to but he brought me around this shit you know now
now you there
right now this is the thing too I can remember being around Southside to a large degree to where it was you know a couple of them wanted to brand me because that's what they do they brand and he wasn't having it he was like nah y'all can't do that with him you know what I'm saying and I remember specifically him saying I don't want to hear my mama mouth and I don't want to hear his mama mouth. You know what I'm saying? Because I was the runt. I was the young. You know, I was a kid. And but yeah, he kind of tried to protect me even in that environment. But I was enamored by it. Like I was, you know what I'm saying? I was kind of
I was too.
Yeah, it was like, nah, I'm trying to be with it. Like,
man, my cousin TJ was he was a good looking dude. He had,
same with Junior.
He had
same
money.
With Junior. Yeah.
Look, he's fucking the strippers. Like they was bad. He was going to the strip club. Look. It's if you've grown up going to strip clubs, you know these bitches ain't going home with everybody.
Right.
He's coming home with the strippers and they doing whatever. They showing their little titties to me as a kid in fifth and sixth grade. Like he was just with the shit.
Yeah.
He had game, charisma. Mm-hmm. The dude got like 12 kids with 12 women. Like he was just on his shit back then. And I was enamored with it. It was like, yo, he got money.
Yeah.
He riding in nice cars. He's smoking his weed. He living the life.
Let me ask you this. And I wonder if you and TJ went through the same growing pain. Yeah. Now, mind you, I'm young. I'm 12, 11, 12, 13 years old. You know, Junior is about 3-4 years older than me. So when you're 12 and somebody's, you know, 15, 16, that's a kind of a big gap.
Yeah.
Once I hit probably 15, because I went to jail. So now I'm coming into my own. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, me and him start to clash because now I'm coming into my own gangster. You know what I'm saying? You know, now that's where the boy, did you and TJ go through that?
Nah, you know, I'll be all the way clear with it. It wasn't just him. I was really, really tight with my uncle too, my mom's brother.
Yeah.
I kind of make fun. I take shots at him and I shouldn't because we family. Mm-hmm. Because when I was young. He taught me how to ride a bike and everything else. I love my father. My father just was at work. He was doing whatever.
Yeah.
He was doing whatever he had to do. So I hung out with my uncle, my uncle and my cousin. I hung out with my uncle probably more at the time. My uncle was also in this shit. He's selling drugs. He's packing pistols. He's stealing cars. And they constantly in and out.
Yeah.
They going to the branch. That's one of our little jails out there. So they out at the branch. He would send me letters with his... you know, put money on my books. They have his name and his number. And it would have, he would circle the name. He'd be like, Sean Thomas, Bo's in here.
Yeah.
Sebo, right? Yeah. Because he knew rap shit. Sebo at the time's OG, but I'm still young.
Yeah.
He's circling names. I don't even know him. He's like, yo, Bo, right down the, like, he's sending me the papers. I think I might still have it in a box at home. But like, he was, you know, he was with the shit.
Yeah.
No one in my family was moving big, like not moving big weight, no big gangsters. Like, I don't even want to put the two on the ten.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we wasn't built, like, well, my family wasn't that. They was just involved in shit because they're from the
trying to make it.
Trying to make it. We didn't clash, though, and I'll tell you why. They couldn't stay out of prison and jail. So when I started to come into my own, they was gone. Like, I think my uncle did maybe, like, a 3 or 4 year bid on top of another 3 or 4 year. And same with TJ. They would just be out. Yeah. And they'd be like, man, he gone. For the next 4 or 5 years, he's just out. And I'd go see him and shit. My uncle got married in jail. You know, all that hood shit. He married his chick in jail.
Yeah.
Like, all, you know, all that regular old hood shit. But we never clashed because they was moving with a little bit of an older circle, and then that whole circle ended up either getting shot, going to jail, doing whatever. And then I started to come into my own around people kind of my age.
Right, right.
And they was all the ones doing dirt. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay.
Well, yeah, kind of me too.
This is my crew now.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And this is how we rock. But I still, man, I've said it so many times. I was never trying to be that hard, and I was never really trying to be in a gang. H Wood is my big bro.
Yeah.
I always claim him. He'll clown on me, and I'll say it right now today so it doesn't get said for the first time some other time. Yeah. Remember when Boyz II Men and LL Cool J did that little rap song? Boyz II Men sang and LL Cool J did the verse. Yeah, Hey Lover.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, my first little rap that I wrote was on some Hey Lover shit. And I recorded it at H Woods, and he threatened me all the time. He'd be like, oh, you think you so hard, I'm gonna drop that.
You was on some I Need Love shit.
Well, nah, look, the girl Leslie, who you met, she was dating some dude. Uh-huh. And I thought he was a sucker. I thought he was a sucker. So I wrote a little song.
Okay.
Because that's what I was doing at the time.
So you thought he was a sucker and you wrote a song to cupcake to her.
Yeah. But saying that he's a sucker, like, and then she should, and it worked, bro. Yeah. Like, it worked.
Oh, but you got her with the song.
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
I did.
Okay.
But H Wood threatened me all the time. Oh, you so gangsta, I'm gonna drop that song. I'm like, man, big bro,
I had to hit H Wood. He got the master to that shit.
he got the ADAT and everything. But actually, you know what's funny is when I first started before the cupcake song. We was on the L.A. banging on wax shit. Dudes in my neighborhood was only rapping that gangster shit. There was, something at the dead light, at the dead side. Everything was dead instead of red. It was all Crip dudes rapping. And so, like, I caught myself out of pocket rapping on some banging on wax shit. But that wasn't my lane, so it didn't feel authentic.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
It didn't feel authentic to me. But that's, like, the first time you would hear me rap.
But you know what,
man? In junior high, probably was that.
Me and you laugh about this, and maybe there's some discrepancies, you know. Yeah. But I'll say it.
Also, fuck you, actually. Always try to bring out my love song.
Hey, man, I really was never. I don't consider myself ever. I've never said it that I was an active gangbanger. I was affiliated.
Yeah.
Never did I claim. You know, was I pushing that line? Now, have I done some shit that could be misconstrued with maybe pushing the line?
I mean, I know of some shit.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, maybe. But it wasn't really fighting on that type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, even I don't know why people from Kansas City, Crippin' ass court.
I know KC people.
Right.
And they be like, oh, you hang out with court? Crippin' ass court?
Crippin' ass court. I'm like, that's what they call me?
You've been branded. You got branded even though they didn't want
ass court. And the thing is I publicly said, no, I just affiliated. I ain't never been a gangbanger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I never tried to put the 2 and 10 with my gangster. Like, I done some gangster shit, but it was rooted in some other shit, not really rooted in gangbanging. You know what I mean?
I say that I ain't with the shit with all of that, but I have some demos that got put, you know, you have.
Oh, yeah. You in the environment and you active, you're going to be forced.
There's,
you
know, been people shit to jump off. You know, test what I mean? You. Yeah. I got North Day homies. I got Crip homies. We've been ran up on before, and I ain't running.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, all right, well, this is what it is. We in the environment. You know what I mean? I know what it is.
It's so funny, bro, because sometimes I think back to, you know, probably with you, at least myself. I mean, I came from a good family. You know, I was raised on love, not survival.
Same.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I always wonder sometimes if I was in a different environment, how that would have shaped my personality.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? And what I probably would have become or got into, you know, because a lot of things. You know, I was a good kid. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't no, you know, you got some kids that, you know, there's some little kids that I see and I'm like, oh, yeah, that motherfucker going to jail. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he 5, 6 years old. Yeah,
acting bad. To jail, that's, you know, bad parenting, though, man.
It is.
Bad parenting.
It is.
Because kids I don't know, man.
You know, but I went to school with some kids that was bad and, you know, dealing with different things at home or whatever the case may be. But I think it's just funny how the environment can shape so much, because I became reactive to the shit around me. Like, I can be 100. You know, I'm securing myself as a man. I'm securing the gangster shit and street cred don't mean shit to me at this stage of the game. That means nothing.
Nah.
You know, I can't take it to the bank. I can't do anything with it. So, but, you know, I can honestly say I was more reactive in things. Like, I can't say 100%. That when I was 10, 11 years old that I just thought that, oh, yeah, I just want to fight and I want to shoot and I want to. I'm riding bikes. I'm a regular kid. You know what I'm saying? But
But then when you start seeing shit happen around.
Hitting the jumps.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, I'm wanting to play in the NBA. But then when I start seeing, oh, damn. Oh, they killed the homie Jermaine over a bottle of cologne. Oh, shit. They jacked homeboy, killed him for his Jordans. Oh, shit. Oh, you know. And yeah. It's like, oh, they jumped him. And I'm like, oh, fuck that. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah. We're going to be safe.
Yeah.
My first car was an old school Camaro, 1980 Camaro. Yeah. Oh, it was old school. But it had the two seats and the seats full forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
I used to keep a 380. I'm talking like, man, 15, learner's permit driver.
380, yeah.
Yeah, I used to have a little 380 and with a seat full. There was a switch from the driver's seat. You could hit the thing, the seat would fall forward. Mm-hmm. And that was my little stash spot. I mean, dude, I had that shit from jump, from day one. All reactive, though. People was getting shot.
Yeah.
Man, I got so many friends that was getting popped. And we had a couple of situations, and people know this is like public record shit. We had shit. I mean, our school, I went to Foothill. So you have Highlands and Foothill all in kind of like the north area. Foothill's technically Foothill Farms, but bro, you walk a block over, it's North Highlands.
Yeah.
So again, we moved a lot. I ended up moving to like the Foothill Farm side.
Yeah.
You walk two blocks up to Hillsdale.
Yeah.
And you're at like Ernie's Liquor. And that's the liquor, you know, the liquor stores in the hoods where shit cracked, like Ernie's and Steve's and all these places in Sac. That's two blocks from Foothill High School, which is weird because you go up and then over a couple more blocks and you're at the next high school, Highlands. And we didn't even, our school wasn't even set up where we had like a football. We had to play at Highlands Football Stadium. We didn't even have our own football field or any of that shit. So very closely connected. But we had situations where like over gangbang shit, we had a dude, Richard Simpson. He had got shot at the corner of our school. This is like, we was freshmen, you know, freshmen. But people was getting popped on some gangbang shit. So when I got that Camaro, man, I was, because I'm moving around the town.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, they popped.
For sure.
They popped, homie, at the school. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like,
dog.
We had people pull up, me and I got two really close friends from back home, the R.S. Mendez brothers, they're twins. And you know, I wouldn't say they were gangbanging either, but they were affiliated with some North A shit. But like, man, at the school, got pulled up by some of the ops pulled up.
Yeah.
Hey, man. You're talking all that shit at the mall. It's like, it's cracking out here, bro. So I'm staying reactive with the heat. Like, I'm not going to get caught.
Man, listen.
If they pulling up, I got to be able to match whatever intensity they going to come with.
No, absolutely.
You know what I mean? I got to be able to match
it. I'm curious. What was your first strap? How old
was 380. The 380. And I got it from this.
How old were you?
15. Okay. 14, 15.
Okay.
It was right before I was driving.
What was it, a Phoenix Arms or a Lorkin?
Oh, man. I don't even remember the brand because I was so illiterate to guns at the time. But it was a little 380 that had the little hook on the clip.
I know what you're talking about. With the little pinky thing that you could.
It's a little pinky thing. Yeah. But I remember. Shout out to my homie Playboy Will. And that was my rap partner. That was my rap partner too. But Will and one of my close friends, Jason, they had an apartment. And I don't want to speak too much on it, but you know, people was hitting licks, and so like they had some straps, hit some licks, and they had some straps. And I remember they just had so many, and I was like, oh, I like this little one because it was easy to tuck.
Yeah.
And then my friend Jason, he was like, take it.
Yeah.
He was a big weed head. He sold a lot of weed. He's like, take it, bro. No, man, you know what I mean? He hit me. If anybody knows Jason from back home, they know his voice. Take it. It's all good. Yeah. Take it. And he's just laughing and whatever else, but he had plenty.
My first, believe it or not, bro, my first gun was a single shot 12 gauge.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like in a fucking.
Yeah, it was this big. It was lit. That was my first gun. I used to keep it in my starter coat.
Man, I went from the 380. I do know my sec. I know the brand because I had a high power Browning, 9mm.
Yeah.
Had that bitch all the way up until I met you
I was trying to get that Browning from you.
Yeah. Well, you was looking at the 1911. Yeah. That's the one
I wanted both of them.
And a Beretta.
Which I got the Beretta from you.
You did. Well,
okay.
I don't know. Yeah. But here's the thing. That Browning, bro, I had that Browning since I was like 16.
Yeah, damn.
I think about it, though. Here's the crazy part. I talk about my youth and trying to grow up and all that. Bro, I moved here before I was 21 or when I turned 21.
Yeah.
So when you met me and I had it. I act like that's a long time ago, but when you met me, that had only been a four-year-old gun. I mean, I was still young.
Right, right.
When I came out. You was in your 20s.
Yeah, I was 26, 25, 26 when I moved out here.
And I was 20, 21.
Yeah.
Like, I was young still, because I talk about all shit like, oh, I had this forever. Mm-hmm. 16 was 4 years ago, bro.
Oh, damn, when you put it in perspective like that.
Yeah.
So,
I want to transition a little bit into, I mean, because, you know, me and you always have a deep conversation about music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Music. And I want to circle back to what I said, the love-hate relationship with the Bay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, I grew up on Bay music. I love Bay music. That's the love.
I love it.
You know what I'm saying? 40, Spice One, as everybody know, is my favorite number one rapper.
He's in my top five.
You know what I'm saying? But, man, my city, Kansas City, Missouri. Oh, my God.
Which I love, KC.
Yeah, shout out to KC. I love my city, but musically, I want us to get the fuck away from the Bay. I want, you know, it's funny because I've had to, you know, articulate this to some of my friends from the Bay because they see me on social media go hard. And I say, listen, this is just me cleaning my own house. Yeah. It has nothing to do with y'all. I love y'all. But we need to get away from that shit. We need to get our own fucking identity. And we need, and it goes deeper than that. Because even when you get into the politics, even when you get into, you know, I think that, and I don't want to be the type to, you know, because sometimes you can correct people in private and then you correct, you know, it looks away when you do it in public in front of people. But, you know, with our city, but this is the way to get the narrative. I just want to change the narrative and the mentality and approach of my city that I care about, you know. And musically, I'm like, bruh, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of the Bay cats, man, they come to the city and they bleed it dry. You know, they don't. You know what I'm saying? They don't reciprocate. You can't go out to their city. And a lot of these artists from the Bay be regional cats. They don't even really be cracking like that. It's just that they, you know, KC, they'll worship them so much. And you paying them for shows, you paying them for verses. They come and they only doing what they should be doing. Yeah. So it's not even on them. You know what I mean? But it's like, you know, I just be wanting my city to really get its own identity and get up off the Bay shit so much. You know what I mean? That's my love hate with it.
I'm wondering though. So entertain me for a second. I'm wondering if you have the love hate. Because when I think of KC and the sound, I shouldn't limit it to just tech.
Yeah.
I think a lot of tech comes. When I hear KC, tech comes to my head a lot. I'm super close friends with Chris Calico.
Yeah.
That's the homie.
Like, yeah, shout out to Chris.
Yeah, he like family. I'll be honest, and I've told Chris this. I knew tech clearly way before him.
Right.
Because tech was doing shit with Yuck and they had the regime and shit.
Right.
I probably got put on to Chris almost like right before I've known him for over 10 years or what, but it was almost like right before I met him.
Yeah.
I actually had a guy out here, Anthony, who was like, man, it's Chris Calico. And it was his first album. Mm-hmm. So I did get put on to his first album, but he was secondary to me. He is a KC sound now when I think of it.
Right.
But I think of tech, and tech is unique.
Yes. Absolutely.
So my question to you though is, do you have to love hate? Because I feel like when you talk about the Bay and you also include NorCal, which is SAC.
For sure.
We just have a lot of artists who have popped.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you're talking about a huge fucking region.
Yeah.
You're talking, because the Bay is like everything. You're talking about Frisco.
For sure.
Richmond, Oakland.
Yeah, all of that.
Because that's way larger than the Kansas City footprint, right?
Yeah.
All the way out to SAC.
Right.
So like, because KC has had people who have popped. It's just not, it's a small region, especially if you're going to go, like you draw that line, right? If you're going to go KC in Missouri, then you only got like the Rich, the Fat Tones.
But see, that's what I'm saying, bro. Like, no disrespect to those guys. Because mind you, I'm a part of that.
You came from that.
I mean, I knew
your shit. When I met you, I already knew who you was.
If you look at all my old CCG and Court Dog albums, they were fucking my albums.
Yeah.
So I come from that. I think what it is... If I can just say it, you know what I'm saying, without it sounding fucked up, but it just is what it is. I think they emulate it to a fault. You know what I mean? Because let's face it, right? I love the Bay, but the sound is different now. The sound is different. You know what I mean? And I think that because we haven't had a moment yet, Kansas City, I'm like, okay, y'all are still following something that is, you know, I don't want to say done, but the Bay had its moment. It had its moment to shine, as every region does. Okay, let it go. Yeah. Let it go. You know what I'm saying? But you're so, you know, ingrained in it. I'll be honest with you. It when I see certain rappers from the city and they always talking about, from KC to the Bay, I just want to fucking just tell them, let it the fuck go.
I feel like SAC had two moments because we had that sickness.
Right, right.
And all the rap that came out of that. And then we have the new era moment that's happening. Because I was in KC with you just a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And they was slapping at Mozzie everywhere
I went. That's what I'm saying, bro.
Everywhere I went. And again, I fuck with Mozzie. I like his music.
I want people to, especially the Bay rappers and the Sac rappers, this ain't nothing against them. They're great. I grew up on them. I fuck with them. Mozzie's dope, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about my own house. And even with my own house, this is not to shit on them. It's just to push them.
You just want to see them move.
I want to see them win. You know, so my thing is, let that go. I'd rather see you emulate Atlanta. I'd rather see you either find your own sound or emulate what the fuck is going on.
I get what you're saying. Because here's the thing. I can hear a Sacramento rapper from like 10 miles away. I'd be like, that's some Sacramento
for sure,
shit.
For sure.
And some Bay shit. And now there are new movements like Dallas. Dallas got a sound with Yella Beezy, with Bone 3,
sure.
Which I was really like listening. Louisiana got a sound.
New
Orleans, Atlanta got a sound.
Exactly. Now, if you want to be 100, yes, I can hear Baton Rouge. I know it because of the slang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the, you know, the way they articulate things. But to be honest with you, when you talk about, you know, Dallas and Baton Rouge and all that, it's still a Southern sound.
Yeah.
It's a Southern sound.
Well, to me, Dallas is like, they, all right, so Chicago had the drill movement.
Right, right. Right.
Dallas to me sounds like a Southern drill movement. It got that Southern sound, but it's drill. Like I would say Mo3 and Yella Beezy and them was kind of part
now,
of that drill.
So movement. Now we identify what's drill. Cause to me, drill is more, you know, it's darker. It's darker. You know what I mean? And the way the beats are, it's a different bounce. It's a different vibe. You know what I mean? Cause whereas when you talk about the South, you talk about Atlanta, you know. Now you're talking about, no matter what you're talking about, you can bounce
a snap
vibe too. Yeah, even with Rod Wave, he be singing and all that shit, just like Mo3. But you can still, that nigga be singing some depressive shit and everybody rocking it because the energy's there. Yeah. Where drill is a little, it's like how Sac in the Bay was.
Yeah, Sac it's a little more gangster.
It's a gangster.
But I think that Dallas shit was a little more gangster. I mean, Mo3 got caught up on some gangster shit.
I mean, yeah, he did, but he didn't get killed in behind no gangster shit. But you know, he got that was in behind a bitch. Like that was some
I don't know the specifics
shit.
Of it.
Yeah,
but,
that was some dumb, that was some you know tender dick shit.
Here's what I'm extracting though.
Yeah.
You want KC to have a movement. These other places are having movement.
Yes, yes.
You just, I get that. I understand.
Yeah.
I come from a different perspective because I grew up, and I'm a horrible rapper. I'm gonna be honest. I never liked my own shit, right? Yeah. But I'm part of it.
Yeah.
Like I am like me, low key. Mm-hmm. Spice One came. Mm-hmm. We was doing Bay Area compilations. I put out when I started feeling like I don't really like rapping myself. I rapped in junior high because I'm in the neighborhood,
right?
And people's doing beats on the table and on the lunch table, and we rapping. I had a homie who's gone now, but Junebug, like that was my homie. We rapped together. It's my rap partner. You know what I mean? I hung out with his older cousin Jay Booty and like. Like I rap with him and I have my other dudes and it was just, to me, I was always like an artistic kid.
Right.
And so rap was an outlet. Like
right.
I understood as soon as someone's making a beat, I could fall into them pockets. And I could rhyme really quick and think really quick.
Yeah.
So like it was fun. And people would say like, even Junebug back then, he was one of the first people to bless me. And was like, you dope.
Yeah.
I think you're dope. He's a street dude. He was like a real street dude. So to get blessed by him, I was like, oh shit, maybe I should do something with this. And then I started doing shit at my bro's house. I did a bunch of like regular tapes. I did the love song. Everybody know that. and then I started doing, you know, what we was really doing out there was all the street shit. I just never, like I listened to my shit and other people would big me up. I just was like, yeah, this ain't really mine. This ain't really my lane. But then I had another homie who's gone now, rest in peace, BP, one of my close friends. But I was like, hey, man, I'm going to take all the shit I've been doing and I'm just going to executive produce your shit.
Yeah.
Because I was just trying to get to the money anyway. The whole time to me was like, I'm just trying to get to the money.
Mm-hmm.
But to the point, I'm proud because I grew up in the movement.
Right.
Like when Sacramento was having this movement, we were doing it. Like we weren't the hot people. Let's be very clear. X-Rated, killing it.
Yeah, Bo, for sure.
Killing it. West
for
Coast sure. Mafia, killing it. Sick Made, killing it.
Yeah.
Set. We was on the outskirts of that.
Yeah.
But we was affiliated with all of them.
Right.
Everybody was following through to the studio. And then from my region, from the north side, we had Hollow Tip and dudes who was really putting on too for our neighborhood. And Hollow was, he did most of his records at H Woods House.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was like, we was, I have the opposite moment because you searching for that sense
exactly,
of pride. And
exactly.
And I kind of lived through
it. And see, that's what I'm saying.
I lived through
and
it.
And that's kind of what me and X-Rated and you were talking about. That's what I want. Like, because I know KC. I ruffle feathers because it's tough love. You know what I mean? Because I've seen the other side of it. I know what the success really looks like.
Yeah.
And so, listen, we had, you know, of course, Tech N9ne. He's
on an island.
To me, he's the only one when you talk about success. I'm talking about a real career. I'm not talking about just, you know, necessarily regional or had a song here. We have a bunch of that.
Don't get me wrong.
We got a lot of talent and we've had people that have gave it a good effort. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, Rich the Factor has done his thing, you know.
I like Rich.
Of course we had you know, Fat Tone had a moment. But that's local. You know, Fat Tone only, you know, he only got that notoriety for all the wrong reasons, you know. Yeah. But if you talk about musically, it was local. You know, let's call it what it is. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So Rich, regional, you know what I mean? And in different pockets or whatever. But then even with Rich, that's a lot. That's Bay. See, I look at that as it's the Bay. You know what I mean? So when you talk about a movement, we haven't had it. But like I said, we have cats like Brandocious, you know, we have we have Marley Young, you know, we got guys down there. We got D-Walk. We got Royce J. Who else we got?
Yeah, Young Cat, right?
We got Young Cat. Yeah, shout out to Young Cat.
I think he signed a Bo now?
No, he just cool with Bo.
I saw Bo promote.
Yeah, he do a lot with Bo. We got Young Cat. You know, we have so much talent down there, even Young Boss. But, you know, I want to see the youngsters, you know what I'm saying? I really want to see them have a movement like Baton Rouge. Like, I don't care what that is. I just know emulating the rappers from the 90s and the early 2000s is not going to get you there.
Look, man, I got an ear for that because I grew up in it and I love it. And I feel I feel honored, especially as a white dude coming from where I come from. Like, I was, bro, when you talk about the Sac shit and even like Mac Dre, who was living in Sac, when he was like, we would run into him at, like, we was recording some of our shit over with Hollis, Big Hollis, and Dre was doing his shit over there. So it's like, I feel privileged that, like, during, when people talk to me about what was your experience in rap, kind of like you had this great moment because of your No Limit connection, right? Which we should get into.
Right.
Like, you're like, I was part of it. I listened About It before About It came out and told P, I don't know about this.
Yeah, I told him. I have bullshit.
I have the same feelings because when I think of, like, coming up in rap, people idolize Mac Dre. They idolize some of these, like, X-Rateds. I was dating a girl named Jennifer, and her stepdad was, like, Sed's right-hand man. I'll go to the black market offices with him. His name was Clyde, and he'd be like, man, this is during Exorcist. I'm not talking about the late shit. I'm talking about during Exorcist. Yeah. I was in the black market office and during Unforgiven, where they was doing like, hey, this is how, I was still in school.
Yeah.
Take this stack of these orange X-rated stickers to the school.
Yeah.
And just put people up on
X-rated.
And at the time, I was just trying to get signed. I was trying to do all the shit young rappers do. So I'm just in there trying to impress Sed and all these other people, like, man, maybe they'll give me some money if I pass out these stickers and do all this extra shit.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, there's not a lot of people that can say, like, I was in it.
Yeah, man. Zach, y'all had a beautiful moment. I mean, I grew up on it. I grew up with it. You know what I'm saying? I should say. And that's the only thing I want for KC. Again, man, it's love. What it is I know, you know, even for myself, I hold myself to the same standard, bro. Like, even with us and our No Limit thing, you know, we did what we did with CCG. I did what I did as Court Dog. But even myself, I even fell short of what I feel like I want to see us do.
Yeah.
I'm in that too.
But you got some, you know, gold platinum plaques, you know what I mean?
That's true.
You got some accolades.
No, that's
true. You're
the
first person
that's
in KC.
But guess what? That was just a moment. See, that's the thing. It was just a moment. It was a Courtney moment, a Court Dog moment, a CCG moment. I'm talking about us as a collective. You know what I mean?
Having a movement.
Having a movement to where, like, Houston, like LA, like the Bay, like Chicago.
Put a bunch of people on.
Where it's just because you from the city, motherfuckers is fucking with you. Think about it with Chicago.
Hell yeah.
You from Chicago? Oh, yeah, we fucking with it. At a time, you fucking with Sac. You from Sac? Oh, yeah, we fucking with it. You from LA? Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
That's what I want, because we have the talent. I think that we just just have to tweak our approach and really just get out of that bubble. It's a bubble in Kansas City. It's like they get so caught up in the local shit to where they don't see the bigger picture. And see, I try to be that beacon of light because I've been in L.A. My homeboy, one of my best friends is Master P. So I've seen the other side. So I try to bring it to him like, bruh, hey, you know what I'm saying?
Doing this.
Hey, but you know, so all I think, I can do is keep trying to get a message.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's
shout out to Sully 4Q because he's the one that did the holding court.
I think that shit is hard.
Yeah, he did the holding court theme song. He doesn't
get so much footage listening to it.
Hey, Sully 4Q doesn't get enough credit because he quietly does his thing. He has a growing, you know what I'm saying, fan base. He does numbers. So shout out to him.
Yeah, no, I think I don't know, man, because it's hard because if I'm being really honest, I don't really feel like we had hood success. The thing I can give H Wood credit, he's the consummate hustler, dude. Mm-hmm. He's the hustler's hustler. Mm-hmm. We was out the trunk. We moved in ways which I would say X-Rated was locked.
Yeah.
SIBO probably had a good movement. I wasn't part of his
SIBO
camp.
SIBO had a lovely movement.
But what I'm saying on moving around, H-Wood and like this camp that I was part of, we actually touched cities. H-Wood had this like, we're going to Tacoma, we're going to Spokane, we're going to Portland, we're going to Phoenix, his dad was in Vegas, we're going to Vegas. We would set up shop and be out the trunk like on some Too Short. We were like the last era of that. Out the trunk shit before Napster and digital, like all of the, when we was putting out shit, we was still in the movement in the moment, but we was in people's face out the trunk in every hood. I mean, that's the thing H would always say. He's like, you different Caucasian, like because you be the only white boy with us, and we be in the hood in every city, because we came to L.A. I came to L.A. before I lived here, but we be in the hood, we be in Sloss and Swap. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? H would go down there because that's where he gets his T-shirts to print up and shit. Mm-hmm. And it's like we're going to Sloss. But I will say, we didn't succeed though. Like my group, we succeeded out the trunk and were able to parlay it into other things.
Right.
Some of the dudes was back in the dope game with the little money they made. H was a really smart business dude, so he parlayed it just into other business ventures. I tried to invest in other people's shit. When we talk about a movement though, it's hard for me to give advice because we weren't on the winning side. Our movement was set up by people that wasn't us.
Yeah, but
we was winning because of them.
No,
because Lynch
you.
Was winning.
But
we wasn't the reason.
But yeah, like, I got you. Yeah, and I feel
so it's hard
you.
For me to ever. When people are like, "Well, how was y'all doing?" I'm like, "I don't know," because we didn't do it.
Yeah,
because Lynch. All credit to Lynch, Raiden, Bo, sure. and all of them. For they sure. did it. You
but
know what I mean,
and you got to understand, my city is on the receiving side of them doing it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. So I understand.
We benefited because y'all listened to our shit too.
That's what I'm saying.
We sold a lot of shit.
Y'all sold
KC.
A lot of shit to us.
Just because we were from Sac.
Some of y'all rappers came down and moved to our city.
Yeah,
and it's rappers.
Looney
moved out there. This is what I'm saying. It was Lavish D said it right. And this is what I be trying to tell KC. Again, it's not a bad thing.
Mozzie said he got his first bag in KC.
He said that, and Lavish D said this out of his mouth. He said, yeah, man. He said, I would throw a show in Sac or around Sac, and 10 people show up.
Yeah.
He said, man, I go to Kansas City, Missouri, and pack that bitch out.
Yeah.
So
but maybe KC just got beautiful rap fans, man. I don't know.
I mean, we do.
You just got to just appreciate the music.
But the other side of that, too, is we don't give each other that support. That's
clearly Sacramento doesn't either, though.
That's what I'm. But yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, because just heard Lav say
that. No, Lav said that. That was just his experience. We know Sacramento love X-Rated and Brother Lynch and SIBO.
They do. They
you see what I'm saying?
I think they love Mozzie and Lav.
Yes,
I mean,
and
there's
Mozzie as well.
There's politics to that where it's.
Outside of the politics,
outside
I'm
of
just the fans.
Yeah,
just the fans.
But I don't know though, because like I don't remember. So, Mac Dre had his own aside from Bay and Sack, he had his own movement.
Yeah, he did,
and he would pack shit out. But I don't remember being young, and I'll go to all the shows. Mm-hmm. I don't remember shit getting packed out for the locals.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Dre, but he wasn't really Sack. He's Vallejo.
He's Vallejo.
He just happened to live in Sack.
Yeah,
for a moment. But I don't remember going to shows for Sac dudes.
Yeah.
Again, Raid is locked up.
Yeah.
Bo would consistently not be in Sacramento, mm-hmm. probably for his own safety of
right.
not personal safety, because Bo don't move like he's scared of anything.
Fuck no. Bo, I seen Bo in the hood in a four block shooting dice.
Bo came to H Woods.
Real talk.
Bo came to H Woods 1D. No, but with the bulletproof vest, yeah. With the pocket in the front, with the strap in the pocket. That bow don't move. I don't say safety. I say safety on some like, I don't want to get struck out.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Like, because I think he had his Seattle movement. For sure. And credit to him, because California politics is fucked up when it comes to prison shit.
Man. Hey, right. Bo was having cases in Seattle, in Sac, in Atlanta.
I don't know Bo's cases.
Yeah, Bo was over.
But when I say personal safety, let's please not get it misconstrued. I don't think Bo ever cared about street shit.
Nah.
Because he pulled up on us. And Bo was cool as fuck when he came to H-Woods, but he pulled up. He don't need nobody with him.
Yeah.
One deep.
Yeah.
I'm one deep.
Yeah. You know Bo get love in KC, and I did a song with Bo back in the day.
I mean, he a real street. Look, I just told you my whole backstory.
Yeah.
Bo different.
But you know, people, real cats can feel that. You know, it's the same thing.
Totally.
You know, it's one thing even with No Limit, with one thing that is crazy because even with P, like we go places where a lot of people of his stature, they won't go, you know, because you know, we know how to maneuver. Yeah. And then, too, when you come with respect and love, you receive that. And you at the same time, you understand where you at and you know how to move. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, and that's how you really can distinguish who real and who ain't. Because some of these cats be scared to death. They really can't move like that unless they have a bunch of police and shit like that. You know,
that's kind of the sad part, too, though, man. I don't know, man. I'm such a fan of hip hop and rap. And it became the genre of music that I really, you know, like, I really am into it. I cherish it. It is sad, though, because I'm really, like you, I'm big on my city. People ask me all the time, what's your favorite, you know, this? Who's your top five? Who's your top 10? The crazy part is my shit still be local. Like, even as a older, late 30s, you know what I mean? Yeah. I still be listening to the grimy shit. Like, sometimes the mainstream just don't catch my ear the same. But you know how people be like, I'm classically trained. I'm trained on the gangster shit. Like,
nah, that's real.
I gravitate.
Me too.
Like, Mo 3, I do say Mo 3 was one of the dudes I liked, but he was spinning that game. He had the melody kind of borrowing from, I don't want to say borrowing to disrespect him, but taking from that Kevin Gates.
For sure.
And those styles, but it was just grimy. And I was like, oh, I fuck with it. You know what I mean? Like, I like that shit.
That's what I be telling a lot of the cats my age, bro. Because, you know, we have kind of this age thing, the old school versus new school. You know, I can see how it can happen. But I'll be honest with you, bro. I like a lot of the new shit. You know what I'm saying? If you listen to it, if you just get over yourself and get over the whole, all these young niggas and woo, woo, woo. You know, if you get over that and you just hear the music, they talking the same shit. Talk. You know, it's just packaged different. It's delivered a little bit different. You know what I mean?
But I like it, too.
I like it a lot. Like,
I would say during our era, during our era, there's plenty of rappers I didn't like.
Right.
I would say as it pertains to the new school, there's plenty of people I don't like. That doesn't mean I don't like it, though.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of people that I think are spitting right now and saying shit.
Yeah.
And it's not the melody I grew up on.
Right.
Or whatever else. But honestly, think about it. I said at the beginning of this interview, I didn't grow up on Big Daddy Kane.
Yeah.
And I'm not of the right age group. I was born in 81.
Right.
I was 10 in 91.
Right.
So, like, there's a lot of shit that was happening from 81 to 91.
You just wasn't,
I was like, man, I was listening to Journey.
Yeah.
Or whatever moms.
No, real talk.
Whatever moms was putting on, you know what I mean? So, I just didn't have an ear for it. So, it's not that those dudes would probably look at what Brother Lynch was and be like, the fuck is that shit?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because they over there doing...
That's what I tell people all the time. Yeah. Like, it's a revolving door, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because just like if you think about, like we, you know, I swore by Ice-T and Ghetto Boys N.W.A., but the people before me that was on Sugar Hill Gang and Curtis Blow, they heard that, like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what people be doing now to the new school.
Yeah.
It ain't fair.
Nah.
It ain't fair.
I think it's some hating shit, really, you know, because a lot of the older cats, and I'm talking about cats, you know, I wouldn't consider myself an older cat, but as it pertains to music, I would be considered an older cat. But
for sure,
you know, they be hating, man. Yeah. They oh man, we keep it. We and I'm like, dog.
Here's what I say though. I think the respect got to cut both ways. Because
absolutely,
one thing that I don't do, I actually have gone back. When I was young, not today, but when I was younger, I went back and listened to Rakim and listened to some of the shit there was, and I was like, okay, I get it. You know what I mean? I didn't hate on it.
Right.
I do feel like the new school
some
people,
of them do. Yeah.
There's an ego to it, right?
Yeah,
Where they hear the banter of like, fuck the new school shit, so they're like, fuck them too. I understand that mentality. Yeah. I think there has to be a respect that cuts both ways.
You're absolutely right.
I think the
right.
OGs yeah. need to be like, let me not hate so much on the new
let
school
them live.
Shit.
Yeah.
Let them live. Let them have their moment.
Yeah.
I think the new school people need to also pay homage to like
absolutely.
Where it came from.
But then I'll say this. I agree 100%. But then, too, when you look at people like, say, Roddy Ricch or even a young boy, you know, you got to think like sometime an older cat will look at them and they'll look at who they look at. They'll say, they'll be like, oh, shit, Young Thug is our OG.
Yeah.
But you got to understand, these guys was born after Tupac was dead. Man. You know, no more than me growing up and my parents or someone older than me saying, oh, you know, you don't know about Otis Redding.
Not
I'm like,
good,
he was dead before I was born.
It's 2021. Your kid?
Yeah.
Your kid's turned 21.
Yeah.
I was out of high school. I'm on the street.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
Like 1 year before you, I knew you.
Yeah.
Before he was.
Yeah.
A babe born.
So I'm saying.
But he is the new school. He's
that's
21.
What I'm saying. You know what so I mean? Sometime I think OGs hear that as disrespect. Now, some of the youngsters violate in disrespect, yeah. but sometimes they be like, what?
Yeah.
How young? You going to say Young Thug is your OG and not Tupac and Biggie? It's like, dude, yeah, I was born 6 years after they was dead.
Yeah.
This is what I grew up listening yeah. to. So I think sometimes, totally. You know what I mean? Now,
I've heard some of the disrespect towards mm-hmm. Biggie and all that and Pac.
Yeah.
Or any of them, yeah. really. And I hear it and I try to come from a place of understanding like, what?
Yeah,
like,
me
why
too.
Are they saying that?
Right.
And I think what you're hitting on is
it's
exactly
the disconnect.
That.
Yeah, it's just
because they didn't grow up on it.
They didn't grow. They
has no influence on their music.
They was born. Yeah. They don't even know about it.
There's like, influence in the culture that it pertains
right,
to.
Right.
But to them specifically, they're right. like, they didn't even look at how it influenced the culture.
Yeah.
And the person that they look up to is someone totally different.
And it's almost like, for instance, if I look to Ice-T, you know, in Eazy-E, right? But you got to think Ice-T looked to somebody.
Yeah.
He looked to PSK. That's yeah. what, you know, influenced his Six in the Morning.
Yeah.
I have no idea who the fuck that is. yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I've never heard the record.
Man.
You see what I'm saying? So that's like somebody, you know, now coming at me saying.
I'll say some super disrespectful shit.
What?
Growing up. Just growing up when I grew up.
Yeah.
You and I are close enough that you might feel this.
Yeah.
I hated East Coast music. Yes. I'm going to say, so that's some salacious
no,
shit to
no,
say.
No,
I did not.
No.
I didn't understand. Dude, Wu-Tang, Nas,
hey,
Biggie,
I'm with
Jay.
You
can clip this
bro.
Out. You can take it out of context. I respect all of them for what
yes.
they did.
Yes.
And what they contributed to the game.
For sure.
We weren't listening to it.
Dog.
In my circle.
Me neither.
I'm sure California, they were selling tons
yeah,
of records.
Me neither.
But it was just, there was like that beef. And I know it was perpetrated mm-hmm. by the media and everything else. But in my circle, it
yeah.
was like... We don't listen to it.
I'm going to tell you what it was. I agree. I didn't either.
We don't listen.
Listen, the only... I've
so
said this,
so much I don't
I've
know.
Said this for so many years. I agree with you. The only East Coast people that I ever really listened to or dug was LL,
yeah.
Beanie Sigel, and DMX.
Beanie Sigel was dope.
Other than that, I'll be honest with you. I'm with you, bro. I couldn't... I tried. Because even early on when like EPMD and Stetsonic and all those like yeah. I couldn't get into it. You
yeah.
know what I mean? But again, like I said, for whatever reason, when I heard Too Short and I heard Ghetto Boys and yeah. I heard Ice-T, I gravitated. I could understand
went that.
That
way.
Yeah, but yeah. all that hip hop and rhymes and beats and mad science and all, I just didn't get with that shit. I didn't nah. connect with it, bro.
I'll you tell you, it was it's kind of like a funny thing over the course of the last 10 years
yeah.
and not so much today, but like I listen to a song and be like, oh, this is dope. And they'd be like, that's off the Illmatic album. But I'm
yeah.
like, I never owned it.
Man.
So let me give credit where credit's due.
Yeah.
I have since
yeah.
heard songs from albums that I never purchased
mm-hmm.
because of whatever bullshit I had bought into.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that was dope. And if people be like, that shit is 20 years old.
No.
That's a and I'm like, man, I don't know.
I've never been a Biggie fan. I respect Biggie. But the only song that
yeah, it's all, let's clear it up. It's all love and respect.
It's all love and respect.
It's just where
it's
we
just,
grew up.
Yeah, it's just what I listen to. I can only rap one Biggie song. It's the one he did with Bone.
Oh, that shit was hard, though.
Notorious Thug.
That shit was hard, though.
I can't recite one Jay-Z song, not one.
I never got on Jay.
Nas, Got Yourself a Gun. And One Mic.
One Mic was hard.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Other than that, bro, I don't know nothing about really. I know it, but yeah. I'm not. I don't patronize it. I'm not a. You know.
I just
I don't
yeah.
follow it like
I never got on. It was just Maybe it was just the era. I was listening to Spice and Pac and they had beef.
Yeah.
They were verbally saying their music. Right. And then you just rocking with who you rock with. They'd be like, well, right. East Coast ain't got no love for Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. And I'm like, yeah, fuck that.
And see, I'm in the Midwest.
I'm young and impressionable. So I'm like, fuck that.
I'm in the Midwest. But y'all. So there was no, you know, I didn't have, either way, it didn't matter. I didn't have a dog in the fight. But just, I'm going off of no politics, no nothing. This is strictly music. This is no type of bias or anything. It was just the sound. Because you got to think, in the East Coast, bruh, initially they didn't even really rap to music. They rapped to break beats and it was hip hop. So I don't know, I just couldn't connect with that, especially coming from the Midwest, because the music we're listening to is more melodic. That's how LA crept in there, because Dre was using melodies. He was using real music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where the East Coast, it was more the hip hop, and I just couldn't get into that. But
even though I was, because of the cousins, TJ and uncles and everything else, I was listening to more NorCal shit.
Mm-hmm.
LA had that melody. Snoop, that Doggy Style, when it came out, Doggy Style, Dre's is a masterpiece. And I would even say Warren G.
Mm-hmm.
I would even say when Warren G dropped his solo on Def Jam.
Yeah. Yeah, that first one was dope.
It's dope. I might have had that on tape and just played that.
G-Funk.
Just played it.
It was G-Funk. Yeah, G-Funk. Yeah, it was the music, man. That's what was the G-Funk. And you see, that's why Puffy caught on, where he brought Biggie and they did the Juicy thing.
Yeah.
Because he seen that, oh, shit, we need some real music behind this shit, not just some hip-hop shit.
It was working.
Yeah, but man, you know, we're going to have to do this again, bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, just me and you. You feel me?
There's a lot that we didn't touch your No Limit days.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah, we didn't even touch really us. All the shit we've done collectively over the last 20 years.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. That just makes, you know, the people going to want to see that. They want to know more about us. You know, that's why we did this, because the fans.
They don't want to know much about me. I barely talk any shit.
They do. They want to know more about you because you don't talk. They like, what's up with Producer Ken? Man, why he just over there like EFN, just not saying shit with the, you know, hey, but they don't know. You be over there on porn sites and shit, low key.
I'm over here
Tinder and shit.
I'm here to, hey, you in my house right now. I'm here to make you look good, brother.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So
that's part of the partnership.
Yeah, man. We're gonna bring it back, bro. We're gonna have to do this again, because you know it's so much that we didn't touch on. And I know people are curious, because I get the messages and people be wanting to know. So listen. So I wanna give a shout out to KC. You know what I'm saying? To my hometown, Kansas City, Missouri.
Shout out.
Y'all keep doing what y'all doing. You know, everybody down there, you know, the Lindales, the Desmond Cartels, the Royce J's, the Sully 4Qs, the Young Cats, Brandoshes, Young Boss, even Lil Fo Baby, you know, Lil Dude, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. All them cats down there, man. Y'all keep doing. I just want us to have a movement. You know, it's all, you know, I'm always here. I'm big bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm unk to everybody. So whatever I can do, but we going to get there though. We going to get there.
I mean, you know, I ain't got to wish that on Sack, because Sack is doing it right now.
Yeah.
Sack is doing it right now.
Yeah.
My best friend and my homie sadly passed away. Mm-hmm. And that was the one that I wanted to see him make it. You know, H would, he an OG, he moved on to other businesses and other shit. So like, none of my homies I'm concerned with. So now I just be having a sense of pride, watching Sacramento have another movement.
For sure.
Right now, they killing it. Mozzie killing it.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know that dude. I got fans that talk to me about him.
Mm-hmm.
I got friends that know his circle and shit. Mm-hmm. I don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so proud just to see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he might be rated and lynched. Mm-hmm. And please don't knock me for saying this. He might be one of the biggest success stories out of Sac.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think without Rated, Bo, and Lynch,
they laid the foundation.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They have these illustrious careers.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's politics behind it that I'm not involved in. Yeah. So I don't want to speak on any of that.
Right, right.
But what Mozzie's just doing in the culture.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he got albums with Rick Ross's people and Gunplay and all them.
Yeah, Mozzie has done really well.
Dave East and him do shit together. He's got this whole new album with YG that he just did. Yeah. Like, he's touching regions of the world that I've never really seen a Sac artist touch.
Mm-hmm.
I know Bo went out and did this Cashville thing with Young Buck,
yeah.
Rated might have been the greatest rapper ever to... He might still be one of the. Yeah. Let me not
shout
say
out to Rated, because Rated is still active.
Yeah,
you know, that's my brother.
No. Yeah. And I love X Rated. He, you know, sadly he had his circumstance.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you know, you look at all of that. Like, could Mac Dre have been bigger if he wasn't in prison when
right.
he? And that's the same way I feel about Raider, but mm-hmm. lyrically, one of the illest to ever do it.
For sure.
He's a lyrical genius.
Mm-hmm.
But Mozzie's just doing stuff I've never seen.
Yeah.
Where it's like
yeah.
out of Mozzie, sack. Yeah. I've never seen it out of sack.
And especially coming from his, you know, environment and yeah. man, you know, shout out, hats off to that dude.
Man, Oak Park is the
yeah.
hood.
And
hood.
Even people don't understand the internal changes you have to make too. The personal changes you have to make to be able to put yourself yeah. in a position to yeah. elevate like that. See, that's a yeah. lot too. You know what I mean? So hats off to that yeah. dude.
I'm just a lawyer. Look, man, when you come from your city, you gave KC a shout out.
Mm-hmm.
I love Sacramento, dude.
Yeah.
You see it on my license plate, the 916 mm-hmm. King. It's mm-hmm. tatted on me. Mm-hmm. I come from the town. I always rep for people from the town, whether for I sure. know them or not.
For sure.
The same sports teams. So I sit back right now like, ooh, Sacramento winning. And then yeah. I put the music on and I enjoy it, man.
Yeah.
So shout out to Sacramento and everybody out there doing their thing, man.
For sure, bro. So we're going to have to do this again, bro. So, man, we appreciate y'all tuning in to the Holding Court Podcast with your boy Big Court and
Producer Ken, baby.
Producer Ken, man. So we're going to tap in with y'all next time. You know, y'all leave a comment. You know, y'all yeah. let. Then what I want y'all to do, y'all listening to this, y'all watching it, I want you to go pull up, go Google Kansas City Rappers. Tap in with all of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
give
sir.
Us some support. Give us, leave a comment. If you're watching this on YouTube, leave a comment. Let me know what KC artist you rocking with. Leave it down there. Give them a shout out on that.
Yes, sir.
Yep, for sure.
All good.
All right.
Peace.
Yep.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.